You are listening to the Horse Radio Network, part of the Equine Network family.
You know, I really feel this like amazing amount of like adrenaline that you get when you're jumping a horse. And I just remember, you know, when I first started riding, I started Western, and it was very short-lived, but I watched other people jumping and I just thought to myself, like, that just looks like so much fun. And I remember the first time cantering a horse and the first time going over a jump, it was just like this just feeling of flight and just freedom. And I think from a young age that has developed on to where I am even today. I feel like when I'm in the ring competing, those 60 seconds I'm in the ring competing, I'm just like in a complete zone and in a happy place. You know, it's like, that's my moment of freedom, just from everything else in my life, all my other stresses or anything else, just being on a horse's back and jumping over those jumps and competing and putting together a perfect hunter round. It just makes everything worth it and gives you just that minute or minute and a half of just pure bliss. And you're just kind of in sync with the horse. It's just, there's nothing else. That's no better feeling than that.
Welcome to the Practical Horseman podcast, featuring conversations with respected riders, industry leaders, and horse care experts. The show is co-hosted by Practical Horseman editors, and our goal is to inform, educate, and inspire. I'm Alana Harrison, and this week's episode is with hunter, jumper, and equitation rider and trainer, Nick Hannes. After a self-funded, successful junior career, hunter, jumper, rider, and trainer, Nick Hannes, started his own training and sales business at Hunterbrook Farms in Temecula, California in 2009. Over the next several years, he achieved multiple top placings in the hunter divisions, including back-to-back wins in the 2012 and 2013 World Championship Hunter Rider Handy Hunter Challenge and the championship in the 2016 First Year Green Divisions at the Devon Horse Show and the Pennsylvania National Horse Show. Nick and Verdict were the reserve champion at the 2019 US HJA International Hunter Derby Championships, and a month later, he finished first and second on Crowd Pleaser and Reese's at the $50,000 Stahl Hendricks Green Futurity Finals at the HITS Saugerties Championship. He also earned the 2019 USEF's Emerson Burr Award and was voted by his peers as the 2019 USEF National Equestrian of the Year. More recently, Nick and Cavaletto Loma Z had a number of notable wins in 2025, including the Platinum Performance USHJA International Hunter Derby Regional Championship at Traverse City and the USHJA International Hunter Derby at Desert Circuit Week 9. He also won the 2025 WCHR Professional Finals for the second time this past October. While Nick will be spending time in Wellington for the upcoming winter show season, he continues to operate his Hunterbrook Farms with his partner, Ryan May. In today's podcast, Nick talks to us about his partnership with Cavaletto and other horses who have shaped his career, what drew him to hunters and jumpers, and what he attributes to his success as a rider, trainer, and horseman. Nick also provides us with an update on the collections of rescue animals he and Ryan care for at their farm. Before jumping into the conversation with Nick, a quick thanks to our sponsor, U.S. Rider. Whenever you call, U.S. Rider answers. We are your trusted equestrian roadside ally, ensuring your horse's safety on the road. Count on us for towing, flat tire repairs, and more for your vehicle and horse trailer. Plus access emergency veterinarian, farrier, and stabling referrals to keep your horses healthy. Stay on the road and in the saddle with US Rider. Visit usrider.org today and become a member. That's usrider.org. Hi, Nick. Thank you so much for taking the time out of your very busy schedule to chat with us today. We last talked to you back in 2020, so we're very excited to catch up with you again, and welcome.
Thank you so much for having me today.
Yeah. So, Nick, since it has been a hot second since we last talked with you, can you tell us about any special horses you're currently competing with?
Well, it's a really exciting time. It's a new year coming up. So we've got a lot of new horses kind of in the works for the new show year, some young ones coming up from Europe. I have had a great year this past year with all my horses and the clients that I was showing for, but we're always looking to, bring and introduce new faces to the show scene. So we're looking forward to that in the new 2026 show season.
Excellent. And then, Nick, we noted that you and Cavaletto Loma Z had a number of notable recent wins, it looks like, in 2025, including the Platinum Performance US HJA International Hunter Derby Regional Championship at Traverse City, as well as the US HJA International Hunter Derby at Desert Circuit Week 9. That's a mouthful, I know. Can you tell us a little bit about those experiences and Cavaletto and your partnership with him?
Oh, yeah. Cavaletto is just an amazing horse. I've been so grateful and totally enjoyed my career with this horse thus far. He's truly an incredible and magnificent animal. He was previously a jumper for Ashley Bond, and we had recognized his beauty and his talent, that which could be maybe translated or transferred into being a really famous hunter or derby horse, which is what ended up happening. So it's been a great experience developing him as a hunter, and this past year was such a successful year for that horse, and I love him to pieces. He is just a team player, a horse that always puts in so much effort. He's beautiful. He's got so much athleticism and scope, but really a huge desire to be a champion horse. And he's a bit of a funny horse. He kind of picks his riders. And I've been fortunate to get along with him so well, understand him, and absolutely just fall in love with his character. So this year, in those big international derbies, it was just so much fun to gallop and jump some big jumps with him. And he's kind of a crowd favorite. I think he always puts such a lot of effort into everything that he does. And he's a horse that celebrates his beautiful jumping efforts. He lands and likes to gallop to the next jump. And I think it's so fun to see horses enjoying their job, and to ride a horse like him has been such a blessing, honestly, and so much fun to keep targeting those main big events. You know, he always has, for me, come to the party. He knows when it's like showtime, and he just puts on a different game face and produces such amazing results for us. And in return, for me, I just love him and want him to have the best care and the best life.
I love it. And Nick, would you mind just telling us a little bit more about what he's like to ride and train?
He's really a very simple horse to train because he's naturally a very, very talented horse. I think training him is actually the saying, less is more, is sort of applicable to him and his methods of getting him to the arena to compete and to win and to show. He really is a horse that you have to understand. His personality is very large. He's a character. He's very athletic. He needs to be relaxed and understand that he's not in trouble. He's a sensitive creature. He loves to be positively reinforced and just petted a lot, and just kind of, he knows he's really special. And I think for me, that's always kind of one of the things I specialize in getting to know my horses individually. And he responds well to that positive reinforcement. He responds well to my voice. So I think one of the things I always try to remember on course when I'm riding him is to talk to him, which is something some people, I think, forget to do or they're afraid to do in the show ring. And for me, I think it's really important. You know, he knows me. He knows me personally. He knows my face, my voice, you know, my commands. When he sees me, he recognizes me. So I think that when we have that kind of bond and that relationship, talking to him during, you know, major events is kind of soothing for him. And that's one of the things I think I can pinpoint as a particular trait that I think works for that horse more than anything else, which is kind of unique and kind of fun.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I love it. And can you tell us a little bit like what he's like at the barn, you know, when you're not riding or competing?
Well, as many people know, I have a farm in California full of exotic animals and camels and zebras and all sorts of other creatures. And Cavalletto Loma Z, like I said, is not a horse we have to train a whole lot on the daily. It's more about just keeping him happy. He likes to turn out a lot. So being in my farm in California is sort of his downtime and his happy spot, his happy place where he likes to just enjoy trail riding. He likes to walk past all of my camels, which most of my horses don't like doing. But Cavalletto is really actually relaxed at home. He's not spooky. He's not afraid of zebras or any of the other crazy animals that I have at our farm. So that's sort of a nice feature about him. You know, he's not a horse that's like hard to manage or very particular or tricky in any kind of a way. So I think honestly, training him is pretty simple. He really just likes to stay minimally, you know, in fitness and in work just to keep him in shape. But we really just kind of jump him and save him for the main horse shows. He usually likes to go in a division or a couple classes first and then just get right to the big stuff.
Yeah. And Nick, do you know what's next on your radar with him?
Well, unfortunately, this year I'm basing in Wellington, Florida. It's fortunately and unfortunately for Cavalletto because he is going to stay in California and continue to compete on the West Coast while I'm here in Florida for the winter. But my hopes and my goals are that we'll reunite together in the spring after the winter circuits are through, and we'll continue our hopefully winning ways throughout the summer and to Derby finals next year.
Excellent. Well, we will, yeah, look forward to watching you guys. And would you mind telling us about any other horses who you feel like were really significant in your career or, you know, maybe those you really learned a lot from?
Yeah, I think I had a horse, one of my favorite horses of all times was named Rhesus. It's a really special horse. I think he's pretty high up there. I think he's possibly sitting in first or second place in the overall lifetime National Derby standings for USHJA, which is really cool. And this is a horse that I imported as a five-year-old and had his whole career. So it was fun to build a relationship and build a career together with this horse. And I think I imported him in 2018. So the last time that we spoke in 2020, he was probably well on his way to many victories. But he is just another horse that thrives just by understanding his character. He, again, is just a real natural champion, an amazing horse. He's kind of taught me a lot about building relationships and understanding each horse kind of in and out and what their characters are like and how to make them their best versions of themselves. And I learned at a pretty young age with Rhesus in his career that he has a gigantic buck in him. And I figured that out in the show ring. And it was made for a great rodeo photo and video, which I have saved in my archives. But after I figured that out about him and I kind of learned what his things were, and that was something that taught me a big lesson about understanding a horse and being able to know that they're each and every horse is kind of different in their own ways. And certain things make them happy. Certain things make them buck really high in the air. I learned that the water truck going by was one of those things that he didn't like. So you just kind of adjust and you just kind of try to understand the horses as best as you can. And then after that, he was just so successful and horse of the year many times, maybe one of my most winning Derby horses to date. I think he just was a horse that would show up and just kind of win every time he went in the Derby ring. It was crazy. People would kind of stop at the back gate and go, "Oh no, Rhesus is here today. I guess we all got to fight for second place."
Oh, I love it. And we may, yeah, we may have to get that bucking photo from you.
Oh yeah, I have it. I can send it. Another young horse that I'm really excited about going into the new year, kind of a current horse that I have, is a stallion now gelding named Navarino. And it's a special story with Navarino because he is the son of the famous horse named Jenkins, who is another horse I've been able to compete throughout his career, and is the grandson of a horse named Charisma, who won the ASPCA McClay Finals a few years back. So there's a big lineage of championship horses in his breeding. And it's so interesting to develop this horse now, Navarino, as a now 7-year-old, because he has so many of the same traits and characteristics as his father and his grandfather, and mostly all really great ways, you know. So it's really fun to have this horse. He was a horse we started in Thermal this past year, and again, just sort of stepped onto the show scene fresh off the boat from Europe, and just, he did 5 derbies and he won all 5 of them, and just sort of really made a big impact on the Hunter Derby and Hunter Green Incentive sport. Definitely a horse that we're looking forward to for this new upcoming show season. I think he's very talented. This is a horse that has just incredible presence, a beautiful jump, and everything you'd want to be excited about looking forward into the future. So we're really happy about that.
Yeah, it's exciting for sure. And Nick, we also saw that you won the 2025 World Championship Hunter Rider Professional Finals for the second time this past year. October. For listeners who may not know, in the WCHR finals, the top 4 U.S. hunter riders compete on unfamiliar donated horses. And if we understood correctly, for the first time this year, the final round was a handy course.
Yes.
Just telling us about that experience this year. And why do you think you excel in this event?
The WCHR Pro Finals is really such a fun event. I mean, it's such an honor, truly, to be even participating in that event. And it was incredible for me to be leading the nation all the way up until that final event. But that last week there at Capital Challenge, you know, it changes daily. The points are updating that week, and it's very it's super competitive, and it's like a time crunch to see who's going to end up being on top and qualifying for that final class, which is the pro finals and the switch off of the top 4 professionals. It's such a great opportunity for us professional riders to kind of have our playoffs, if you will, and have like this amazing, fun, even playing field. We're all on brand new horses that we don't know. We don't get a chance to ride them before the event. So you were all on a clean slate basically before the night starts. It's 4 rounds, and you rotate each round and get on a new horse. And you're basically just getting on at the back gate. You're getting on in the saddle that's with the horse and just going for it. So it's a really, really fun night. It's exciting. It's exhilarating. There's a lot of luck that goes into it. Of course, you know, you have to, you know, hope for the best, and it can go your way with the order of go. Sometimes the horses are, you know, they get tired or they get fresher. You know, there's so much to the ambiance that night that dictates the overall performance of the horses. But the last round, the 4th round, is a handy round, which I think is something that on a normal basis is a class that you kind of need to know your horse really well for, you know, making tight turns, galloping, possibly doing a trot fence, doing really awkward angles or slices on fences. So you usually have to have a pretty good partnership with your horse to understand and to produce the best handy round. But being that it's the top 4 professionals and you're on a brand new horse, that's the name of the game. You got to be able to bring your handy skills and be able to navigate the course and be bold and be the best. So I think my nickname is Handy Hannes. So I think that's something that I love the handy classes. So I was actually looking forward to trying to jump ahead on the score and the points in the handy portion of this class. And I had to go first, I remember, in the handy round with my catch ride. And I did not know this horse at all. I think I was pretty nervous, not knowing, you know, the course that they had given us had a lot of options. You could turn left, you could turn right, you could go to this jump or go to that jump. They gave you quite a few different tracks you could have taken. And again, normally if you know your horse and you know your horse's strong suits or their weaknesses, you would plan accordingly. But not knowing the horse at all adds just a whole nother flavor of difficulty. So that was a really fun kind of a challenging class for us to really strategize and try to figure out what we were going to do. And when we walked the course before the class had started, we had not known yet at which horses we were going to be riding in which part of the event. So we still had no idea for the handy which horse we would be getting. So it was all a surprise until the last minute. So it was pretty exciting and very, very fun. I just remember thinking to myself, lay it all on the line. You're here. It's a big event. You want to win this championship and the title again. I had won it once before, but I was definitely in the mood to win it a second time, I think as everybody was or is. And I just thought, give it your best, go in the ring, gallop, the judges want to see forward pace. They want to see tight turns and you're either going to sink or swim. So give it your best shot. And, like I said, luck is also a part of this. And we're grateful for all the owners and people who donated the horses to that class. So it was really such a fun event. And like I said, I was just honored to be crowned the champion. Again, it was just a great feeling.
Yeah. And Nick, do you even get to warm up on the horse to test his or her gears at all? Or is it you literally just go in?
Not one step. You have to just get on at the back gate and you just turn right back around and walk in. And the first time you enter the ring and pick up the canter is the first step you ever felt of that horse. So it's all brand new. And, you got to kind of study and watch the other riders with those horses. Maybe they went before you and rode that horse, before you. So you could start to learn if it has a drift or if it misses a lead change or if it's, one-sided, you just try to kind of use your best judgment and study a little bit if you can and watch them go. And it's interesting because I think all four horses went different for all of four different riders, so just like the horses, the riders are all unique to their own ways and ride certain ways. So it's just a matter of being consistent and going in and doing the best that you can do.
Yeah, that is so fascinating. It reminds me of back in the day, riding in college, where we would just pull our horses, names out of a hat. And yeah, you didn't get any warm up or anything for sure.
Yeah. And for me, I loved growing up as a kid, catch riding horses. So it just feels like second nature to me. I'm blessed that I don't get nervous or have any second thoughts when I get on a new horse. I think it's just important to try to read the horse and go when you're feeling a horse and you're riding the horse for the first time. You're trying to introduce, new buttons, but not too many new buttons. You're just kind of trying to adapt to your natural ability and see kind of give and take and see what the horse responds best to as you're going along and try to paint the perfect round.
Yeah, it sounds like such a fun event. So yeah, thank you so much for sharing and congratulations.
Thank you.
For sure. And Nick, kind of circling back to your riding roots, can you tell us a little bit about your early riding days? Was it kind of love at first sight with you with horses?
I was completely obsessed with horses from, I'm pretty sure, day one of my life. I remember my first experiences, I was probably 3 years old and I was going to the local stables that was nearby my home and feeding the horses carrots. And that was just this fascinating thing for me. I was just in awe of horses and I had Briar horses as my toys. And I tried, I'm one of five boys. All my brothers played sports. So I did the typical basketball, baseball, soccer practice. But I started riding at the age of four and I pretty much just always had this feeling and this passion towards the horses. And, I knew it was going to be my forever love. And I think it just became sort of second nature for me to be like a barn rat. I lived at the barn whenever I could, on weekends after school. Most kids would want to sleep in on a Saturday. I was anxious to get to the barn at 6 a.m. to turn my horses out and watch them go running and bucking and playing. It was just anything I could do to be at the stable, I wanted to do. So and I was very lucky growing up that I could basically ride my bike to the stable. It was within a mile of my house and I had a lot of access to a lot of different horses and horse friends and trainers. And like I said, developed kind of my catch riding skill at as young as 9 years old. I remember riding my bike around the stable there with my saddle on the handlebars and asking any of the trainers if they had any extra horses that needed to be ridden, and I would be happy to get on and do it. So that was sort of the way I learned to kind of adapt to every different type of horse, whether it was a pony or a horse or a barely broke or older horse, just anything in between, any experience I could get and watch and learn was valuable to me. And I remember I would even drive out to the horse shows after school, and I would just go to the professional divisions and just sit there on the sidelines and watch the other professionals competing their horses. And I try to learn and study from them just visually. I'm a visual learner, so I'd watch them in the schooling ring. I'd see how they warmed up their horses. I would see what kind of tack they used and how they released, how they squeezed their horses at the base of the jump, or if they didn't, you know, just kind of watched all of the ins and outs and saw who was successful and saw who wasn't, and just tried to kind of figure all of that out from a viewer standpoint, which I really do believe helped me visualize how to become a better and stronger rider. And then eventually when I turned, was more competitive and turned professional, how to, continue in that way.
Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that, Nick. I love it. I'm in my mid 40s and I still have my briars. It's
yes, I do too. They're on display now in my office and I love them.
Yeah. I love it.
They've broken their legs a few times, but they've been repaired.
I've had several who are missing parts for sure. Yeah. Out of other equestrian sports, was there anything in particular that drew you to hunters, jumpers, and equitation?
I really feel this like amazing amount of like adrenaline that you get when you're jumping a horse. And I just remember when I first started riding, I started Western, and it was very short-lived, but I watched other people jumping and I just thought to myself, like, that just looks like so much fun. And I remember the first time cantering a horse and the first time going over a jump, it was just like this just feeling of flight and just freedom. And I think from a young age that has developed onto where I am even today. I feel like when I'm in the ring competing, those 60 seconds I'm in the ring competing, I'm just like in a complete zone and in a happy place. You know, it's like, that's my moment of freedom just from everything else in my life, all my other stresses or anything else, just being on a horse's back and jumping over those jumps and competing and putting together a perfect hunter round. It just makes everything worth it and gives you just that minute or minute and a half of just pure bliss. And you're just kind of in sync with the horse. It's just, there's nothing else. That's no better feeling than that.
Yeah. Could not have said it better. That crazy jumping adrenaline. It's amazing.
It truly is.
Yeah. And I understand, Nick, that when you were younger, you didn't always have the financial backing to buy a horse that, who was already really competitive. So you learned how to enjoy the process of creating your own horses. Can you tell us about that experience and what you learned from it?
Well, I think that horses continuously are teaching us, more and more. I mean, you're just never, you never can know enough. And the more experiences you have, the more you learn. And I just felt really fortunate. I grew up in a family that had, I had a lot of siblings. We had other priorities. We had, the financial side of things, we were very comfortable, but it wasn't directed at my horse sports, and I wasn't given a lot of opportunities as far as my dreams and my horse show endeavors. So it was very limited on that, and it kind of pushed me to really want it and to crave it and to work in whatever way I could to make it happen for myself. And I think in that process, it gave me this desire to understand, to learn horses, and to be able to pick out a diamond in the rough and be able to make a horse from nothing into something. And then I learned that process was so rewarding for me. It just kind of made me more and more hungry to keep doing that. And by the time I was about 15, I had been buying and selling horses off of like the racetrack or other, out of the Horse Trader magazine for low dollar amounts and training them up and doing little local shows and then reselling them to friends or to people that were in my community. And that kind of on a lower level, that process was really something that was exciting for me, and it was incredibly rewarding. to be able to not only find a horse, but then to spend time with it, produce it, train it, and then resell it to the right home and to watch it prosper in the future with the next people was something that really intrigued me. And I kind of, you know, as I was getting older and getting through high school years and whatnot, and looking forward into my life and to the future, and realizing that I wanted to have a life with horses, that was sort of my only way of making ends meet. So I began going to Europe at age, like I think 15 or 16, and kind of doing it on a little bit of a larger scale, and you know, going overseas on an airplane to find horses, not just in my backyard, was a whole different ballgame. But just developing relationships and meeting people, and just being really well-rounded with learning from every type of situation, you know, that you could get my hands on was so important. And my mom, I remember, was she bought me a horse that I was competing on that was an incredible horse. But when I was winning on him, someone had offered us a lot of money, and I was just not in the position to keep the horse. I had, you know, my mom said, if you want to sell this horse and keep the profit, you can then use that money to begin your professional career of buying and selling horses. And I think it was a hard choice for me, but it was definitely the moment in my career that changed everything, because it opened up my eyes and opened up the opportunity to go ahead and buy more horses and to continue doing equitation and to continue going in the direction of medal finals and then onward and onward to my professional career after that. So it was so grateful that my mom did that for me. I'm forever grateful for her for what opportunity she made possible for me in the sense of chasing my dreams and doing it on my own, you know, making that choice for myself and then being able to target that financially in the right direction and build on that and build on that each time was something that I think I'll forever be humbled by and grateful for. And it just kind of, again, installed this like incredible passion and love for the horses in all sense, just and building them up from the ground to the top level of the sport is just something that I think for me is just such a rewarding process and something I really enjoy doing, because it's easy just to go out there and buy the already winning horse, of course, which is nice if you can do that, but being able to be a part of their journey from the beginning and then seeing the end result is something that you can't buy that.
Yeah, absolutely. And Nick, would you mind telling us about any notable mentors or coaches who were formative in shaping you as a rider and trainer?
That is a really interesting, and that's a hard question to answer. And I have to be honest and say there is not one person. I really feel like it's an accumulation of every person along my journey. Everyone has played a role in one way or another, whether that was with teaching me or with coaching me or with just mentorship or friendship or there's so many great people in our industry and in our sport that share the same love for horses. And I think it's so important to remember everybody along the way. So for me, I would hate to say there was one person other than my mother, who I am the most grateful for just all of her support and allowing me from day one. And she's still involved with my Hunterbrook Farms and my business and my life with horses, kind of as my bookkeeper now. But she has always been such a force for me and a positive person in my life. So I would say that she's been my number one mentor and support system. But I have to say, there's just so many people along the way that I think are important to remember, and I can't really choose one of them.
Yeah, for sure. That's so amazing that your mom is, yeah, still hands-on with the business and all of that. Excellent. And then, Nick, do you have any favorite training exercises that you feel like your horses consistently benefit from?
You know, I think that basically, you know, my horses, I always say this, I'm a candidate. I believe horses have to be happy in order to perform at their top of the game for us. So I try my best way of training horses is nothing tricky, or I can't say there's not one trick for each horse. You know, there's no one trick pony. So I think every horse is different, and approaching their training is sort of very customized. I think one thing that, you know, for me, it's like horses can't talk. And that's the most frustrating, but also the most rewarding part of like this process is trying to figure out. And it's a science, like it's just never ending. We're always trying to figure out more information and always trying to figure out what makes each horse kind of happiest and how to perform their best. I mean, so for me, I think that one of my, if I were to like classify myself as a trainer, I'd say that my training techniques sort of are to keep horses happy, to be able to understand their individual needs and really make my program tailored to that. That's why I've sort of chosen to become a more of a boutique type, you know, barn or trainer with not a gigantic amount of horses in my stable. I like to kind of keep it to smaller numbers so that I can really individualize and specialize in each horse's, you know, needs.
Yeah. Yeah. And shifting gears a little bit, Nick, is there anything outside of riding that you do to stay in shape for riding and any advice you would give others?
You know, I ride almost every day of the week. I ride a lot of horses. Oftentimes I compete in 50 to 60 classes a day when I'm competing. Wow. So I'm pretty physical on the daily basis just in itself with riding horses. So outside of that, I try to try to stay, you know, in shape. I do a little weight training and I do, I run a little bit, but I pretty much, I'm just designed to be in the saddle and that's where I'm the happiest. And I feel like it keeps me busy. So pretty much as far as my physical activity to stay fit enough, it's just keeping in the tack as much as possible. You know, it's funny. I know when I go on vacation and I don't ride for a minute and I get back in a saddle, it feels like a foreign object. So I can relate to my clients or to people who can't ride all the time, and be in the saddle all the time. It definitely is a sport and an activity that you just kind of get comfortable with the more and more that you're in the tack and the more you practice and stay involved with the horses. So fortunately for me, my life is my work and my horses. So I'm pretty much riding and being active with them every day.
So true. And sometimes I feel like there's just not even enough you can do that uses all of the muscles that you use in the saddle for sure. And Nick, we, in our last podcast with you, we did chat a little bit about all the other critters that you mentioned at your farm. But for new listeners, would you mind just telling us a little bit about how that came to be and if you have any new additions since we last talked?
Well, I'm an animal lover. You know, I love my horses, but I love animals in general. And I think growing up, I always had this dream of having a farm and having a zoo, if you will, and having a lot of different animals. And this particular farm, when I bought it in 2014, I moved to Temecula, California with myself and my little dog, Hunter. And I had heard a rumor that alpacas, in fact, keep coyotes away. So I, in light of keeping my dog safe and out of harm, I bought a herd of alpacas. And those were my first animals that I had at the farm. And then from there, it kind of just kept unraveling, and I kept either rescuing or purchasing more animals. And then people would message me and say, "Hey, we have like a potbelly pig that needs to be rescued, or there's 10 miniature horses that are going to slaughter in Texas. Will you save them?" And so, kind of just started adding up and accumulating. And again, it was a mixture of purchases, a mixture of rescues, and then just really an overall like love of just having animals at my house. It's like my little happy place there. And it's grown to be now probably over 100 animals that are not horses. And I absolutely love it. Every single day is just, it's a blessing. And I'm so fortunate to be able to house them and to keep them and to give them, you know, forever homes. We now have everything from alpacas, goats, pigs, a tortoise. I have ostriches, emus, birds, parrots. We have miniature horses. I have 5 camels, both the dromedary and Bactrian camels, which are the single hump or the two hump camels. They're beautiful and amazing creatures. I have zebras, zonkeys, donkeys, everything in between. So it's quite a menagerie there in California.
Yeah, for sure. Well, as a fellow lifelong animal advocate, Nick, thank you so much for doing all that amazing work. That's awesome. Your partner, Ryan May, is also a competitive hunter-jumper rider and is involved in your Hunterbrook Farms operation. Can you tell us a little bit what it's like to share the same passion with your partner? I'm quite sure there are benefits and challenges.
Definitely. No, I'm so blessed to have an amazing partner like Ryan, who's been so supportive and such a light in our lives with our horses and our animals. You know, we're very blessed to have each other in the sense we both love our animals so much, and to have someone that shares a passion like that with you and is willing to travel the country and the world together doing this sport and this hobby and this passion together is kind of rare, but also so exciting and beneficial for each other. You know, we both love animals. We both love the horses. You know, I'm more of the show rider. Ryan likes to sort of be more behind the scenes. So it's a really good blend and a mixture of all of our talents, but he's very, he's also a model, a runway model. So he has sort of another passion of his that he loves to do, and he's very personable and brings a lot to the table. People love to catch up with Ryan and talk to him when I'm more serious and competing and very busy in the show ring. Ryan is great with networking and the sales and being available for people to catch up with us on and see all of our new horses. And he loves giving tours of the farm and sharing our home farm and our passions with our friends and family.
Excellent. And then, Nick, you've experienced so much success over the course of your career. What do you attribute to your consistent success?
That's a good question. I don't know. I would say I think that just the horses kind of keep me this constant. Like I said, it's like it's always trying to figure out how to make horses happy, how to keep them healthy, how to win, and putting in that perfect hunter round is such an art, and it takes such a level of commitment physically and mentally, and being able to master that kind of keeps you going. It keeps you hopeful. It keeps you always wanting to improve. And for me, I think my success has come from that cycle of always trying to be at the top of my game, trying to be educated on horse care, on management, on, you know, all of those things. And I think that horses bring out the best and the worst in people, because there's a lot of finances that go into this and a lot of time and commitment and frustrations. And for all the good days, there are plenty of bad days, which I think is another thing that's so hard about this day and age with social media and the false sense of reality. So I think for me, just, I guess I can say that my success has come from being humble and from realizing that the journey is a long one. There's ups and there's downs, and it's a roller coaster. But at the end of the day, it's all about the horses and about this this lifestyle. I mean, I do have to count my blessings and remember how blessed we are to be able to have a life around this. And I think that keeps me kind of motivated. And I think, just like I said, when I'm competing horses, that's like my 60 seconds of happiness and just peace, and you're just one with that horse. And that really is a feeling you can't replace.
Yeah. And you alluded a little bit to this, but what's the hardest part of the sport for you?
The hardest part about the sport would be, that's a really good question. I mean, people are probably the hardest part of the sport. The horses are the easiest part of the sport. No, but in all reality, it's just, I think the hardest part is just continuing to remember that Rome wasn't built in a day, you know, and there's these goals we all see, and there's visions we all see of where we want to be. And it's a bumpy road sometimes, you know, it takes years to master a craft like that. And it takes, and it's never ending. I mean, you'll go your whole life with trial and error and figuring things out and trying to to find all of the answers, and they're kind of ever changing. So that's part of the process. And I think that's the hardest part for people. There's no amount of money that can buy you success, you know, and success is measured in different ways. So I think that that's something that I think is a hard part to be able to manage on a personal level and be understanding of that and be able to accept and be a part of the process.
Yeah. And Nick, in your opinion, what makes a good horse person?
I think what makes a good horse person is one person's ability to look at a horse in the eye and just know their character and be able to relate and work with a horse, not against a horse or forcing a horse. And I think that's what makes a good horse person.
Excellent. And then last but not least, Nick, we had a couple just kind of fun lightning round questions.
Yeah.
If you could go back in time and relive any ride in your lifetime, what would it be?
Reride.
Yeah, if it was like a favorite win or just, you know, a ride that was just a special horse that was just a super fun round or anything.
I have to say, I remember the first time I went to Saugerties. They were doing a $500,000 hunter class. And it was the very first year they ever did this type of a high prize hunter class in history. And I remember driving to the horse show that morning and just feeling so blessed and so excited, no matter what the outcome was, to be a part of something so special. And like my whole life, I had dreamed of being like this successful rider and having, you know, the grandstands full of people going wild, cheering for you, and just being a part of like a hunter final like that, that was so special, was a moment I would love to relive again. I remember being there in New York and just being so excited about it. I ended up finishing in second place, which was awesome. And it was so exciting. And that was definitely a really cool memory and moment in my life, in my career with horses, that I remember being like really unique, and super special, because we needed that in our industry, in our sport for hunters. You know, there's Grand Prix and there's jumpers and all those things. And there's the Olympics and there's so many, you know, exciting events for equestrians. But that was like kind of the first big hunter class I remember being a part of. And it was really humbling and exciting to be there and experiencing all of that.
Yeah, super cool. And Nick, do you have like a favorite type of jump, you know, whether it's an oxer or brush or...
I can tell you my not favorite jump is the trot jump. That one's easy, but my favorite jump is the single oxer or a hand gallop jump. I absolutely love a hand gallop single oxer. Sort of something I practiced and had the skill for when I was a kid, and it's just kind of stuck with me. I just love to gallop to jumps.
Awesome. And do you have any competition superstitions?
Any superstitions that I have about competing? No, not really. Mm-mm.
You know how some people have like crazy ones.
I always feel like if I'm going into like a really like a big event, a main event or a big hunter class or a finals or a really, a high end prize money class, I always am superstitious about buying new clothes before I compete. Like, so I'll go buy a brand new pair of like breeches or new gloves or a brand new hunt coat. It makes me just sort of feel kind of like new and special or like fancier. So I sometimes before a big class, we'll do that and then feel really fresh and really like really good about my event.
Yeah. And favorite food?
Candy. I have a major sweet tooth.
Candy.
Horse show diet. When I'm competing, I definitely have to have my Sour Patch Kids or gummy bears or anything like anything kind of gummies or sour candies, sort of my go-to, like pick me up before or while I'm competing.
I love it. And favorite book and or movie?
My favorite movie. I remember as a kid, my favorite movie was Wild Hearts Can't Be Broken. And it was a movie about horses that were diving horses. And it was like so cool to me. It was like the most crazy thing ever, but it was such a fascinating movie. And I loved it.
Oh, I love that movie too. I like grew up watching that.
Oh yeah.
I loved it. I need to rewatch that. It's been a couple of years. And then I know you mentioned you have a dog named Hunter. Is that your only other four-legged family member besides,
yes,
of course, and all your other animals?
Yeah.
Awesome. What kind of dog is he?
He's a rescue, but he's probably Jack Russell and Dachshund mixture.
Love it. What a cute
and
dog.
And mixed with human.
Aren't most Jack Russells.
Mm-hmm.
Sure. Mares or geldings?
I used to be a geldings person, but I have to say lately I've been more of a mare person. Yeah.
Excellent. And when you're not riding, which sounds like you're riding most of the time, where can we find you? Or is there anything that people might not know about you that you could share?
When I'm not riding, my favorite activities would be probably getting a massage.
Love it, as all riders could. Well, Nick, we have covered quite a range of topics, but is there anything I just didn't think to ask you today that you would like to add? Or if not, like I said, we did cover a lot.
I think we're good.
Excellent. Yeah. Well, Nick, thank you so, so much for joining us today. We super appreciate it.
Oh, I'm so grateful to be a part of it. Thank you for having me.
All right. Take care.
Thanks. Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to this week's conversation with Nick Hannes, and a big thank you to the episode's sponsor, US Rider. You can subscribe to the Practical Horseman podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, or wherever you listen. While you're there, please rate and review the show. Thanks again for joining us today. I'm Alana Harrison, and you've been listening to the Practical Horseman podcast.